Won't it be wonderful there? No doubt in my mind. I don't know about yours. I am looking forward to that day when we can be there walking and talking with Christ, the Supernal One. And that is for all Christians to look forward to. It's going to be a great day. And if you are not looking forward to that day, well, maybe, just maybe, you're not prepared. So we need to prepare ourselves to meet our Maker. And He is going to judge us according to the deeds done in this body, whether good or whether bad. As we come together on this evening, and I told you on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and there we go, that we would look at part two of Fig Leaves Not Enough. On last Sunday evening, I talked about the dress of the men, and I told you on tonight, or this evening, we would talk about the dress of the women. And if I confuse evening and night, don't beat me up about it. There are some that will beat me up, but that's okay. I know it's not dark outside yet. And I was talking to someone yesterday, and they said they wanted to talk, and I said, 30 minutes after dark. They say, 30 minutes after dark? I never heard that before. But a lot of times we tell our children, you need to get home before that street light come on. And the street light usually come on right before dark or right at dusk. And they know if they get home after that, it is dark and they're in trouble. So 30 minutes after dark is fine sometimes. But fig leaves not enough. Even in the ideal or in the mind of Adam and Eve, they were in darkness when they ate of that fruit that was in the midst of the tree. But they understood that those fig leaves were not enough, that they sewed together to make themselves aprons. And if Adam and Eve knew that those fig leaves were not enough and tried to hide themselves, how much more do we know today how we're supposed to dress? I know that, you know, different people say different things, reference to a sermon on modest apparel, and then there are some that even joke about it, and they will say that most of the women wouldn't be here when his sermon is preached. And it just so happened that most of the women are not here. I could have came up to you and preached a whole different sermon tonight or this evening, but I decided to stick with what I said so I wouldn't have to repent about not preaching the sermon that I said I was going to preach. And I even went further as far as to tell the one that said that most of the women wouldn't be here. I said, well, I have something for them too. All they have to do is mail them a CD. Anonymous from the West End Church of Christ. But I'm not going to do that either. I'm not going to do that. But fig leaves are not enough when we start talking about dress. And I want you to understand that maybe it's not you, but maybe it's the person that you know that's not dressing appropriate. Maybe it's someone in your family that's not dressing appropriate. Maybe it's your grandchildren and their children. Your children are not teaching your grandchildren how they're supposed to dress. So what does that mean? That means our work is never done. We have to continue to teach according to God's word and do the things that God would be pleased with. Fig leaves are not enough. What shall I wear? This is the big question nowadays. What shall I wear at work, to relax, to school, to play, to worship? What shall I wear? Many times we lay out our clothes the night before, or we have in our minds what we want to wear before we get up the next morning. Work in the workforce, workplace, many of the places that you work, they have uniforms. What do people do with those uniforms at times? I don't like this uniform. Why do I have to wear a uniform? You know what they start doing? They start altering their uniforms to fit their needs. Not the company's needs, but their needs. And you know who that uniform belongs to? It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the company. Well, sometimes the company makes you pay for it. But a lot of times they let you take that uniform, turn it in, you get it clean. They give it back to you and they take X amount of dollars out of your check every week or once a month. But the uniform is company property. You're representing that company. So they want you to dress the way they tell you to dress. To relax. Most of us, when we get ready to relax, we wear what we want to wear. We wear something that's comfortable to us. Something that makes us feel good. Like when you come into this place, sometimes it's real hot and you say, oh man, it's hot in here. And some of the men will take their jackets off, some of the ladies will take their little coats off or whatever. But you never, never, ever take off too much because you are not in an environment where you can just relax and say, oh, I'm in the comforts of my own home. I can wear what I want to wear. Not this place. This place is a place that has been set aside to worship God. So that drops down to the bottom. To worship. What are we to wear to worship? Something presentable. What do you mean by something presentable? Something that no one can look at and say, did you see what he had on? Or did you see what she had on? She knew she shouldn't have wore that. He knew he shouldn't have wore that. I'm not going to say he too much tonight, because who am I supposed to be talking to tonight? I'm supposed to be talking to the ladies, right? Because last week I talked to the men. But you know, you never can preach a lesson on this without putting in both sex. Even when it's dedicated to one sex or whatever, you still put both of them in there. Then we move back up to school. What do you wear to school? There are many schools nowadays, they have uniforms. You know why they have uniforms? They have uniforms because they want people to focus on what they're supposed to be learning in school and not on what they're to wear. You have young men, young ladies going to school, got these expensive tennis shoes on, and get beat up and get their tennis shoes taken away from them. So the school come up with a policy. You can't wear designer tennis shoes. You have to wear a solid color shirt. You have to wear khaki pants and certain colors. And they try to stay away from certain colors, different colors like red. They try to stay away from, some schools do anyway, blue. They try to stay away from them. I know here in Louisville, red and blue is the biggest colors. But many schools will not allow them to wear those colors because they're associated with games. So what shall I wear to play? He said, well, I'm just going outside to play, Daddy. I'm going outside to play, Mom. They said, well, when I told you to come home, you were supposed to take off your school clothes before you go out there and play. So we had the thing back in the day. We had play clothes and we had school clothes. You didn't go outside and play in your school clothes. You knew better than that because you wasn't going to get anything new. You put a hole in those pants right on your knees playing marbles. That's what you're going to wear to school. And guess what's going to happen once you get to school? People are going to laugh at you. So what shall I wear? So you need to separate, you young people. You need to separate your play clothes from your school clothes. You need to separate your dress clothes from your casual clothes. And learn when to wear each one of them. We had a young man in school, we used to call him Suit Coat Hoppy. Why? Because he always wore a suit coat to school. We made fun of him. That young man was dressed up. We didn't realize what that meant back then. We just laughed at him. Nowadays, some people are proud to wear a suit coat to school, but we laughed at him, and that was way back in the day. When one dresses, they should consider several things. Is it modest? We're going to define that in just a moment. Will I call someone to stumble? Am I professing godliness? Will God be satisfied with what I am wearing? Those are some important questions. And those are some questions that need to be answered in your mind before you get dressed. Why before you get dressed? Because sometimes when you get dressed at the last moment and you don't have time to change. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to wear this. No, you didn't have to wear that. You should have made up in your mind before you put that on. And sometimes moms and dads get mad at their children and they say, well, since you put it on, we're running late. Yeah, that's what you're going to have to wear. And what do people do when they see them? Can't believe they let them out of the house looking like that. So when one dresses, they should consider several things. And those are the four right there that we want to look at. As we dress, we need to be concerned about purity of others. Always, it's not just about self. It's about what the other man may think or what it may cause the other man to do. But ultimately, you know who it's really about? It's about God. Because God has set the standard. Not man. God has set the standard. In Romans chapter 13, verse 13 through 14. We read now the English Standard Version there. Romans chapter 13, verse 13 through 14. Let us walk properly as in the daytime. Not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. That is very important, isn't it? That we realize how we're supposed to walk is what Paul has said. Walk properly. It means that you're not trying to draw any undue attention to yourself. You're not dressed as, you know, I'm going to dress today and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to catch me a man. You know how you can catch a man, ladies, that don't have a man? Be yourself. Be the person that God wants you to be. Be godly. Act in a manner that that man can say, now that is a woman that I wouldn't mind calling my wife. That's a woman that I wouldn't mind being seen with. And yes, we're going to have to talk about a little bit about that as well. There are some women that some men should not be seen with. It's a shame that has to be said. But even me, Melvin Spencer Jr., my wife beat me up one day. You know, I didn't have a black eye or anything. But wait till we get that part, and I'll tell you about it. Heed the warnings of God concerning lust. This is what we need to do. This is very important. When we do not heed the warnings, if you see a warning sign out there say, do not enter, what do you do? Do you go, oh, I'm going to enter anyway. I'm still trying, even as far as like a week or so ago, I'm still trying to get used to the one way. I told you about the day I almost turned down, I did turn down a one way and found out that I was the one wrong and I thought the car was on the wrong side of the road. Well, I did it just the other day too. Broadway is a bad place to try to turn on a one way. Because people look at you like you don't have any sense. I turned down the one way and there these people were sitting at the stop sign there looking at me. I'm looking at them and I look back and I said, well, I have time. I put it in reverse and I got out of there. But you know, if we don't heed the warnings, and first of all, in order to heed the warnings, one must see the warnings. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27-30. A lustful mind is a sin. That's a warning. A lustful mind is a sin. If you don't believe it, just watch. Keep lookout and see what goes on around you and see what goes on even in your own mind. Matthew chapter 5 verse 27. Matthew chapter 5 verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery was a bad thing and still is a bad thing today. But look what Jesus said. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. She don't even know it. Well, sometimes the reason that man commits adultery in his heart is because of what he saw. Some it doesn't matter sometimes what some women wear. It doesn't matter at all. Some men are going to think the way they want to think anyway because they call them dirty old men. But you know, we have some dirty young men too. They're going to think whatever they want to think. But the Bible is very clear. But I say unto you that whosoever looks upon a woman to lust after her, to want her, to desire to be with her, has committed adultery already in his heart, in his mind. He's already done the deed. There's a lot of things that we need to consider when we look at something like that. We need to be very careful. We need to be careful with what we're looking at. And we need to be careful of what we're wearing to cause someone to look at us. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. See, this takes some training. One must guard his of their thoughts. I ride up and down Broadway every day. And I don't have to tell you because you've lived here in the city all your life, most of you. You know what goes on up and down Broadway. We hear sirens 24 hours a day. And when you see one cop car, you usually see two or three heading in the direction of that first car. They all go in the same direction. But you know what else you see? Between the bus stops, at the bus stops, you see people that are not dressed the way they need to dress. They're not dressed the way I'm pretty sure that their mom and dad taught them. Some of them didn't get the teaching. But they're not dressed appropriately. They have on little or nothing. And I try to, you know, I want to see what's going on. I really do. I want to look around. But sometimes it's better just to look straight ahead and say, I hope when I get to that red light that it's green. Because then you're sitting at the red light, what do you do? You have a tendency to look around. You want to know your surroundings, right? And the reason you want to know your surroundings is because you never know what's going to happen. We were sitting at the red light one night, not here, somewhere else, and a man came and tapped on the window. And he held out his hands like this, and he said, "Beer." I looked at Anita, and she looked at me, and I said, "What?" He said, "Beer." I said, "Step away from the vehicle." I was on the passenger side, and he stepped away from the vehicle. But he came across the lane just to get to us to ask for some beer. He was at the right point, at the right place, because the beer joint was right there. But we didn't have anything for him. So we need to guard our thoughts on what we're doing and what we're engaged in, making sure that everything is all right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Get over here. Philippians 4, 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Are you thinking on them? Well, you're thinking on the good things in this life. You're thinking on the things that's pure in this life. Or you're thinking on the things that will cause you when God, you know, says it's time for you to die, come judgment. Or you're thinking on the things that's going to cause you to hear that good report. "You're my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of life. Enter into the kingdom." If you're not guarding your thoughts, you're not even worried about that. What you're worried about is how much you can see. How much dirt you can get yourselves in. So we need to be careful, don't we? We need to heed the warnings of God concerning lust. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6 through 27. Look back to the story, the rest of the story now. I was talking to this lady, and I was supposed to be getting something from her, and she looked at me and she said, "Can I get in the vehicle? Because I don't want to get seen outside the vehicle talking to you." Me, not really thinking about what was going on, said yes. This woman that got in my vehicle was a harlot. And Anita said, "You better never let that happen again." Didn't buy nothing, Brian. Didn't realize what the situation was about. The good thing was, probably, that nothing did happen, that I didn't get in any trouble. But the better thing was that I had friends that was on the police force that knew me. They knew what type of activities I participate in. They knew what type of person or know what type of person I am. And if something would have came off, all I had to do is pick up the phone and call one of them, and they would have said, "Not that man. I don't believe that he would have done anything like that." But you know, there are some women out there that will entice you. There are some women out there that will try to trap you. And when you put yourselves in positions or predicaments, then you really don't know what's going to happen. So it goes back up one. You need to guard your thoughts. You need to guard your ways. You need to make sure that you're thinking on the things that's right and that you're concentrating and doing the things that are right. But in Proverbs chapter 7, let's read some of this. In Proverbs chapter 7, it's important that we realize that it's not just the woman. But the Bible talks about, and Solomon talks about, what the woman has on. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6. "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man, void of understanding." Now, isn't that something? He really don't know what's going on. This young man has no idea what's getting ready to happen to him. He's getting ready to be introduced to life as some continues on and live after they've been introduced to it by this woman. Passing through the street there in verse 8, near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She was ready to trap him, wasn't she? She was dressed in a way that no woman should dress. She was dressed in a fashion that would draw attention to her and make someone want to desire her. She already knew in her mind before she came out what she was going to do. Maybe, just maybe now, as some of the women do when we used to, you know, go around and exterminate houses, we would knock on the door, the woman would come to the door, she would peep out and she would say, "Wait just a minute." And when she come back to the door, instead of putting something on, it's like she took something off. You know what me and my partner used to say? We'll take care of your place later. And we just go on about our business. You have to be careful. You have to guard your thoughts. You have to guard your mind. You have to make sure, ladies, that you don't do anything that's going to cause somebody to stumble. But this woman, she was a harlot. Her intentions were already bad. And I believe when she saw him and she was looking at that window as she was going to the door, maybe she took off a little bit more. But when she went out there in that street and she saw him, it says there in verse 11, "She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner." Every corner. So she called him and kissed him. And when an impudent face said unto him, "I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee." Do you know another verse in the Bible that's similar to that one? If you diligently seek God, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, isn't He? This woman diligently seeked after this young man. And she found him. The Bible teaches us, "Seek and you shall find." But you know what you have to seek? You need to seek after righteous things. Because if you look hard enough for something, you're going to find it. She found exactly what she was looking for. This simple young man. One that she could take. One that she could trap. One that she could lie with. And it says, "Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works and fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, or alloys and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love." There's a problem, isn't it? And the problem is this. That when we go into houses with women that we don't know, we're subject to get in trouble. So we have to keep ourselves. We can't let a lady's dress entice us to do things wrong, men. We have to be strong. We have to be the one to say, "You need to cover yourself. I'll stand here and talk to you all day, but here, take my jacket and put my jacket on." And then when you're seen with her and someone says, "Why was she wearing your jacket?" You say, "Because I was trying to talk to her about the Word of God, but I wanted her to be covered when I was doing so." I know none of you men would ever do anything like that, would you? Because you don't want to get caught in the place where you're not supposed to be. But I want you to understand something. When you see the drunks on the corners, when you see the dope dealers on the corners, you're subject to see prostitutes on those same corners in a harlot's attire. And you know who we're supposed to talk to? All men. Trying to convince them that the life in which they're living is not worth living at all. So we need to do the things just right. The attire of a harlot. Your clothing should profess godliness. As we look at our Christian ladies, and that's who we really are talking to, because the non-Christian doesn't really understand these things. We teach them as they become Christians, and we keep teaching them, and gradually they grow and they grow and they grow and they learn. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. As Paul is writing, he's telling the women how to dress and what they should do. It says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, with sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Well, what is Paul saying? First of all, the word modest is orderly, well-arranged, and decent. You can have on too little, or you can have on too much. Orderly. If you're going to a big banquet, and everybody at that big banquet, they say they want you to dress to the nines. You know what that means, don't you? You go in there and you pull out all your pearls. Pull out all your diamonds. You get your fur coat. Although it's 100 degrees outside, you get your fur coat because they're gonna have it freezing when you get there. You want to look nice. But when you leave that place and you go to the local restaurant and you're still dressed like that, you know what people are gonna do? They're gonna look at you like you're crazy. They're gonna look at you and say, "Why do that person have on that outfit?" With shamefacedness, with a sense of shame. A sense of shame. You know, there are some ladies that do not have a sense of shame. They don't care what they wear. They don't care how they look. It's my body and I'm going to show it off. Well, did we not see the other day that your body is really not yours? Your body belongs to God. And it's the temple of the Lord. And if you do not present it as the temple of the Lord, He's going to allow you and make you pay for it one day. With sobriety, with soundness of mind. If you don't have a sound mind about how you're dressing, you're not going to dress right. You're never going to look right. So we have to continue to teach individuals how they should dress. It says, "But which becometh women professing godliness with good works?" With good works. I just want to say that as we talk about the dress of the women, I look at everybody. Some I look at and as I say, as I ride down Broadway, I have to turn my head and look a different direction. But some you can look at and say, "Now that person is dressed nice." As I was talking about the young men the other day, if everyone that had their pants pulled up and I call them over and give them a dollar, I wouldn't go broke. Well, this past week, it just so happened that almost now all the young men I've seen had their pants up. And that was a good feeling. It made me feel like, wow, what's happening? What's happening to our society? Is our society finally opening their eyes and see that how they're dressed is not right and they're deciding to do something different? You know, just when you see that, you see this one young man riding a bicycle. What happened? So we need to dress accordingly. We need to dress the way God would be pleased with. You know, we start talking about dress. It's not just about how we dress. It's still our minds. And it's Titus chapter 2, the verses 1. Titus chapter 2, the verses 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, the things that are proper, the things that are beneficial. Speak these things." Brother told me one time, he said, "I got beat up for preaching a topic on sound doctrine." He said, "This other brother just beat me up." He actually said it was his uncle. He said, "My uncle beat me up. He's supposed to be a Christian man. Now he's supposed to be setting an example, but beat this young man up for preaching sound doctrine." Look what it says in verse 2, "that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." Older women, teach the young women. Teach them that they should stay home instead of going out into the club. When that young man come home to his young wife, he shouldn't see her in that dressing. And he look at her and say, "Baby, that look good what you have on, but I didn't know that we was going out tonight." And she looked back at him and said, "We're not going out. She was going out." That shouldn't happen. She should not be dressing in a fashion that she's going to go out trying to entice some other man to look at her because her husband quit telling her that she's attractive. See, man, it's not just about the women. It's about what we do to encourage our women to dress in a fashion that is pleasing and acceptable unto God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Dress for success, not to impress. Ephesians chapter 5. The verses 3. When we start talking about impressing here, what I want you to understand is I'm talking about trying to get someone to do something or notice you in a fashion that you should not be. As moms used to tell little girls, and they still need to tell them, you're not going outdoors in what you have on. Well, mom, I'm just going to play. You're not going to play in that. You need to change your clothes. Matter of fact, once you take that off, you bring it in here to me and let me throw it away. You know what some parents do? When they see their children not dressed accordingly, a lot of times they just turn their head and say, I know I didn't see what I seen. But yes, you've seen it. And since you've seen it, you need to do something about it. In verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. See, as a Christian, we should not allow our dress to be in a fashion that someone thinks that we're going out to do something that we should not be doing. It should not be in a fashion where we say, where someone say, you know, look at her. As I said the other Wednesday night, I believe, when they looked at my brother and I, and they say, I don't know, pimp or preacher. We should look at some of our women and say, I don't know whether princes or prostitutes because of their dress. See, these things are important. Dress is important. Not just because God said so. But because in our minds, in our consciences, we know so. Because what are we trying to do? We're trying to follow God's will. We're trying to follow His standard. We're trying to do the things that we know are right. Some places where we need to see women dressing. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. And look at that another time yourself. Some places where we see women dressing immodest. We see them at work. We see them when we play. We see them shopping. We see them at the schools. And last, we see them in worship.
Amen.
You may say you don't never see it. It's there.
Amen.
And what we have to do is we have to continue to teach. When they go to school, a lot of young ladies think they're slick, just like the young men. Mom say, you're not going to wear that to school. What they do is they go back there and they put what mom told them they couldn't wear to school in their backpack. First thing they do when they get to school, they run in the bathroom and they change. They come out and next thing you know, mom, dad getting the phone call and say, hey, little Sally, she wore such and such to school. And you say, no, she didn't. I saw her when she left the house. So mom is telling the truth. No, she did not wear it to school. But when she got to school, she put it on. I got sent home one time for wearing a tank top to school. I was already in detention. But I got sent home for wearing a tank top to school. The man said, you need to go home and change. You know what I did? I took a half a day to go home and change. I got back before lunch. He looked at me and he said, everything's okay. As long as you spend half a day in detention, they counted for a whole day. I think I did it on purpose. Just like the young people do today. They dress on purpose to catch someone's eye. They dress on purpose, not just to catch someone's eye, but to try to entice some young man or some young woman. So yes, we need to watch what our kids wear to school. Yes, we need to watch what we buy for our kids to wear. Yes, we need to watch what they borrow from their friends to wear. And when we go shopping, we need to make sure that we buy the right things so we do not see our children dressed in modest as we see others shopping in immodest apparel. When you're in doubt of your dress, don't do it. When you have to ask the question, and some of y'all have heard it, maybe some of y'all haven't heard it. And I'm a little bit afraid to say it. But this dress makes me look fat. And if you do not answer properly, you're subject to be in trouble. Simple answer, maybe I wouldn't work. I don't work it. No. But we need to be honest, don't we? We need to be honest. Is what I'm wearing appropriate for the occasion? Is what I'm wearing going to draw attention to me? Is what I'm wearing going to make me, when I put it on, step outside, is it going to make me? I'm talking about, when I say me, I'm talking about you saying me to yourself. Does this make me uncomfortable where I'm going? You're satisfied with it, that's going to be between you and your bones. And so when someone approaches you and they say, you may want to take your advice. You're not worried anymore. Or when someone walks up to you and because this is what you see. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, you see people doing like this, getting uncomfortable. Why are they uncomfortable? They're uncomfortable because they know that there's a problem. And there's a problem to be taken. So we all need to concentrate on what God will have us to do. Be the Christian that God will have us to be. Hold with it. Continue to teach the young ones. Do not allow the young ones to teach you. Do not dress the way they're dressing, but you teach them how to dress. If you're here this evening, and you're not a Christian, you want to become one, the opportunity is yours. Yes, there's a standard that you need to uphold. Yes, there's room and regulations that you must follow. Yes, we are strictly going by God's Word. That shouldn't stop you from becoming a Christian. That should give you the desire to want to become one. That's the truth is yours. Come forth, make your confession, you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Having been washed away in the water of baptism. Maybe you hear you're already a Christian. But you have found that your ways are not pleasing to Him. Get it right before it's too late. If you hear this subject, please come and stand in the center.